Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. Today we're going to continue our study of God's plan through the ages. You know, we've been tracing the Jewish people since they came into existence at the time of Abraham. Today we come to the time of the entrance into the Promised Land under Joshua. From the beginning of the Jewish people, 4,000 years ago, God has had a plan for them. And he still does. We'll see how this plan unfolds in our study today.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
This is key. You've got to understand God has a plan for the Jewish people. And so he brings them into the land. They come around after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. That's the book of Numbers. Study the book of Numbers. You'll see the wanderings in the wilderness. And when you come up to, and by the way, you know where the wilderness is? That's from Jerusalem south to Eilat. We take tours to Israel. We go through that Negev desert. That's where they wandered for the 40 years. They were so close, you could see the Promised Land. But because of unbelief, God is chastising them. He didn't do away with them. He didn't let them all die in the wilderness. They come around to Shittim, which is just across the Jordan River there in Jordan. They prepare for 3 days. Joshua then is the leader. They take the Ark of the Covenant. The priests walk into the Jordan River. The Jordan River, it was the springtime, remember? Passover. They're going to have the Passover when they get over to Gilgal, crossing over the Jordan River. The waters were flooded over the banks, not like it is today, flooded over the banks, all the way from Adam to Jericho, the Dead Sea. That was a massive river. And as those priests stepped in the water, it split open. Dry ground they walked across. Went over to Gilgal. 137,000 of them. Oh, you know what the first thing they did when they got there was? Oh, the men were really excited. They had a circumcision service. Because during those wanders in the wilderness, no circumcision. These men had now come into the Promised Land. 40,000 of them are going to be used to conquer. Not only all of them, just one-third of the team is going to be used to conquer Jericho. This is the book of Joshua. We're seeing God as he's promised to take care of these people. Judges is a period of time when they have a number of judges who rule the land, but everybody's doing what they think is right in their own eyes. God then, he relents to their request for a king. The book of 1 Samuel is the first king, that's Saul. 2 Samuel, the second king, that's David. David comes to be a king over his tribe, Judah, in a place called Hebron, setting the stage, the second most sacred piece of real estate in all of Judaism. It's the place where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are buried. But that's where Caleb got a piece of real estate. Caleb said, I want that mountain where the grapes of Eshcol grow. You know what the emblem for the Israeli tourism is, don't you? It's two guys carrying a stalk of grapes on a pole between them. And that the grapes out there are unbelievable. But he brings them in. And that's where David comes to power as the king of Judah. And then all 12 tribes want him to be king. So he then goes to a place called Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And there it's a Jebusite stronghold. He captured the city. He makes it the capital of the Jewish people. That was 3,000 years ago. You see, if you're going to understand today, you got to understand yesterday. That's 2 Samuel chapter 5. He's the king of all of Israel. Chapter 6, he brings the Ark of the Covenant from Kiriath-Jearim into Jerusalem, makes it the spiritual capital. 2 Samuel chapter 6. That's 3,000 years ago. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God gives David the Davidic covenant. I'm going to have a temple on the Temple Mount. Your son will build it, and one of your sons will rule him from that location. And I'm going to settle Jewish people down in Jerusalem. This is part of their whole existence. The third king is Solomon. That's 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11, what happens? King Solomon, as had Saul and David, the two kings before him, served for 40 years. But because of his sin, because of 1,000 wives and concubines, because of following after their gods, at the end of his reign of 40 years, he divides the kingdom. 10 tribes go into the north. They're called Israel. 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, stay in the south. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, takes over the 2 tribes in the south. He's the king of Judah. Jeroboam, who was an antagonist to King Solomon, he takes the 10 tribes and goes in the north. That's 1 Kings 11. You continue to study the kings in the tribes in the north under Jeroboam. In 722 B.C., 2 Samuel chapter 17, we have the Assyrian leader who comes in, and he takes the Jews out, those 10 tribes, into the Assyrian captivity. About 100 years, just a bit more than 100 years later, you have Nebuchadnezzar, who goes over and defeats the Assyrians. He captures Egypt. On his way back from Egypt, he takes a couple of young Jewish boys, 4 of them, Daniel, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael, better known maybe to you by Shadrach, and Abednego. Go to chapter 36 of 2 Samuel. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. Let me show you when Nebuchadnezzar comes in on his third wave, he's coming in to take the Jewish people into the Babylonian captivity. See, he established human government, chapter 9, verse 6, book of Genesis. He's now going to use human government. He used the Assyrian leader. And now he's going to use the Babylonian leader. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 7, chapter 36, 2 Chronicles. And Nebuchadnezzar also carried the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon, and he put them in his temple at Babylon. Look at verse 18. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, and all these he brought into Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and they break down the wall of Jerusalem, and they burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and they destroyed all the godly vessels thereof. By the way, you've got to realize that this is key for what's going to happen over in chapter 16 of Revelation, verses 17 and following. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar destroys the temple, devastates the city, brings the Jews, the remaining third Jews still alive, into the Babylonian captivity, brings all the utensils, all the furniture, except for the Ark of the Covenant, because it had been hidden underneath the spot where the temple stood on the Temple Mount. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 35. And verse 3, he brings them. Why did he do this? Look at verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 25, verse 9, chapter 29, verse 10, makes the following statement. Because you Jews did not obey the command I gave in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, this land is my land, I want you to rest the land, give it a Sabbath every 7 years. Because you did not do that for 490 years, I'm taking you out of the land for 70 years. 7 into 490 is 70 years. That was the quiet time that old Daniel was having in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2 when he said, when I was reading from Jeremiah in my quiet time, I realized the time of the desolation of Jerusalem is over. If you don't understand the history about a biblical philosophy of history and what's happening with the Jewish people, you're not going to understand God's plan for the future and what he means for us to be doing in the day we're still alive. And so they're taken into Babylonian captivity. Go across the page from 2 Chronicles chapter 36. God raises up a Persian king named Cyrus. 150 years before the fact, in Isaiah chapters 44 and 45, God gave Isaiah the prophet a message. I'm going to raise up a man. He's going to let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. In fact, I'm going to name the man. His name is Cyrus. That's pretty good, isn't it? 150 years before the fact, the event, and the man who's going to allow it to happen. Look here, verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Chapter 2, he allows Zerubbabel to take 50,000 Jews back into Jerusalem from all the 12 tribes of Israel. Hello? All 12 tribes, no lost 10 tribes in the world. Read the scripture. It's key to understand history so you can understand the future. All 12 tribes are in the land. All of Israel goes back. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 in the book of Ezra. They get back into the land. The fall of the Babylonian Empire, 539 BC. It takes them 25 years. It's about 515 BC now. And finally, after the ministry, look here in chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the prophet, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem. They told them to build the temple. God raises up two prophets. One of them is a priest. That's Zechariah. The other's a crusty old man. That's Haggai. The crusty old man said, get in there and build that temple. Zechariah, the suave priest, says, please, come along. Let's build the temple. That's our priority. By the way, this brings the prophets into our minds. There's 17 prophets in the Old Testament that have written books. Prophets throughout the Old Testament. These 17 prophesy at a certain time in history. You see here Zechariah and Haggai and one other, Malachi. The last three, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they prophesy after the Babylonian captivity. Now, if you want to know how to read and understand what you're reading, so they are the prophets after the Babylonian captivity, after the Jews have returned to the land. There are two prophets that prophesy during the Babylonian captivity. That would be Daniel and Ezekiel. All the rest of the prophets prophesy before the Babylonian captivity. Now that's key. If you're a student of prophecy, a student of the Word of God, you got to have that in mind. Who are the three afterwards? Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. The two during Daniel and Ezekiel. All the other prophets before the Babylonian captivity. And so we see the prophets now coming into existence. There's so much more. Let me just take you over to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. And he makes a statement. He said, before the great dreadful day of the Lord, Elijah is going to show up. And then, that's the last word of God for 400 years. But that bridge is spanned by Elijah. John the Baptist, cousin of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2, comes on the scene. He is going to be the forerunner for the Messiah, the Jewish people. Jesus Christ comes, as promised throughout the entire Old Testament, to set up a kingdom. For who? The Jewish people. The kingdom only promised to the Jewish people, never promised to Christians, only promised to the Jewish people. It could not come into existence, that great and dreadful day of the Lord, until Elijah shows up. John the Baptist goes out as described in the text, looking like Elijah. Jesus in Matthew 11 says, he's the greatest man born of women. And he could have fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi 4:5 and be Elijah. But the Jews rejected him. They rejected me. And so thus, that prophecy is yet to be fulfilled.
Indeed, the prophecy that is found in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, that Elijah must come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, is yet to be fulfilled. Elijah will be one of the two witnesses foretold in Revelation chapter 11 verse 3 and following. But let me quickly remind you that before all of these prophecies are fulfilled, the rapture happens when Jesus shouts for each of us who are Christians to join him in the heavens. By the way, that rapture could happen at any moment, so keep looking up. Next week, we'll finish our journey through history with the Jewish people. Please join us for this study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...